There's not much to make of that bust, aside from the fact that Howard got away. You gather up computer data, accounting information, anything you can get your hands on. Normally this would be illegal because you're not allowed to seize an entire business as an excuse to look for crimes, but if you can find anything at all that points back to Mercury, then you're in the clear given the broad warrant currently in play. Unfortunately, your tech expert needs a little trip to the hospital, where Dr. Major is waiting to look him over. Looks like that blow to the head wasn't as bad this time, but the doctor orders that you keep wearing that helmet because it saved your life twice now.
Okay, don't tell my mom, okay?
Dr. Major tells you, "Oh, no, everything that happens between us is in strict confidence. Not a word slips out of this room if you don't tell someone yourself. We have the same deal set up as a football team."
What kind of deal does a football team set up?
You know, confidentiality. Knowing which players are injured and how could make a lot of difference to the commercial prospects of a team. So hospitals sign agreements with especially tight rules for football teams. We had our own medical room at the HQ, but that's out of commission for a while.
Were you there when the building went down?
Oh, yeah, but I dug myself out of the rubble.
That must have been horrible.
Sorry, I shouldn't joke with trauma victims. I was there when the alarms went off and got away from the building. When the first bomb went off, I went even further away. You see some of the harm a villain will do to people, and it's not hard to piece together it was an attack.
Oh. Well, sorry I wasn't there.
What good does that do?
It's my job to protect people in the city, and I'm sorry I wasn't able to save our own HQ.
Sorry doesn't fix anything. I'm not mad, just to be clear. I think part of what makes me a good doctor is appreciating how things are. There's damage, sure, but here we are now. And sorry doesn't matter so long as we're always trying to fix up what we can, right? Here's the job, here's what's in front of us, here's what we do.
I guess that makes sense. I mean, I guess that's what we do. But now that we don't have the HQ, do I always go back to this hospital if I get hurt?
No, they're all under the same network if you're in the city. Any place you go is in the same contract with Unstoppable Industries, and they'll call me, so don't worry about trying to come here. Go wherever they can treat you first, and if you have to be moved, we'll move you.
Okay, that's convenient.
Kind of. At any rate, you're prescribed at least 24 hours of rest. The doctor tells you not to go into work tomorrow because you need to avoid stress and not risk further injury, but you are only out for just a little bit, and this time it's less concerning.
Okay, then once I get out of the hospital, I call Lowry.
Hello.
Hi, Lowry. I went to see the doctor, and she said I'm okay.
Oh, good. You know, we worry about you. Honestly, I'm a bit frustrated. If I'd sent Cog in with you, I think you could have come out of that in much better shape. It didn't do much good keeping my car seat warm.
I think Howard just startled us, is all. It all happened so fast. Even Lightshow must not have realized what happened.
Well, hey, the good news is, we got a whole bunch of computer stuff for you to look at.
And I'm eager to look at it. But that's why I called. Dr. Major said I need to stay home and rest for a day.
Why? I thought you said you were fine.
I think just as a precaution, because brain injuries can be bad.
Are you on medications? What exactly is the situation?
Just bed rest, I think. Maybe like an ibuprofen if I want.
Well, look, you're staying at a hotel with me under the company right now, right? So tell you what, how about you stay in bed, you can relax, and I'll bring you all the hard drives and everything right to your room. You won't even have to get up. I've got a key.
Oh, I guess. I think she was just worried about me getting hit again, so yeah, that'll be fine, I guess.
Thank you, Elvis. Everything is moving so fast. I'm glad that we brought you on with the company, because you're dependable like this.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Thank you, Lowry. I guess I'll go back to the hotel. I'll text you when I come in.
All right, sounds good. I'll see you then.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye.
And then Elvis resigned himself to a restful schedule of working. Paul, what's your next step?
Stop in at Nicholas's place and get myself disguised as Daryl Masterson.
Thor is here. He's half watching TV and half looking for properties on the internet. When you come in, he turns off the TV and pretends he was giving work his full attention. Nicholas watches as you get your disguise prepared. He says, "This one is going to be tough. You have a former co-worker, knows Masterson well enough to break the law to help him. You do great fakes, but part of your voice tricks is thanks to your super hearing, which wouldn't work if you have to meet him on Luna Island at all. You're also going to need to shave the beard."
Nah, see, there's too much wrong to add up, so I gotta lean into it. Masterson didn't die, but he did get hit, so he did get burned in a fire. Something seems off because I've been taking drugs for the pain, and it's really brought me down, but I'll try to hide that a little bit. Masterson's friend will see his buddy isn't the man he used to know anymore.
So are you hoping for pulled heartstrings? You don't even know your mark. That seems a bit sloppy from you.
I might luck out on pulled heartstrings, but don't worry, I got more deck to stack. All I need is to get the guy to meet with me.
Speaking of, don't you need to get in contact with him before you get all dressed up? Are you going to show up at his house, cold?
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. My mind got going and I almost forgot the most basic step. I stop with the makeup and get out my phone.
What's the name of this friend I'm supposed to be calling?
Looks like Phil Butler is the name. According to the notes Mercury gave you, he works security at Luna Island.
All right, I practice my Masterson voice a few times, then I give the number a ring on a burner phone.
It rings for a while, then goes to voicemail.
Hello, Phil? It's Daryl. I'm okay, but I need some help. Don't try to call this number back, I can't keep the phone. Please meet me at the Slowdown Bar tonight at 10:30. I won't be able to stay long, so be on time.
When you hang up, Nicholas says, if I were this Phil guy, that phone call would make me pack my bags and skip town for good. Bad vibes.
Yeah, if I were this guy, I'd scope it out and set a billion traps for whoever was there. I also wouldn't even be in the building until I knew the person I was looking for was also there.
Maybe working with you so much is what makes me so nervous about a call like that.
Speaking of, hey, Thor, you want to go to a bar tonight?
Thor says, for what? What do you need me to do?
Just hang out. Keep an eye out for this guy in the photo. Then leave. I don't need you to get involved with anything. It's just my costume's going to be a bit conspicuous and memorable, and I don't want to spend much time with it in public.
Oh, yeah, I can sit around a bar, sure.
Okay, then we'll wait a bit before 10:30 and then go to the Slowdown.
That's the plan. Meanwhile, Elvis, you spend time looking through the data you took from Hermes Construction, and evidence points to it being a money laundering front and not a whole lot else. Yes, Howard was there, but it looks like they had him listed as manager under a fake identity. And that's probably one of the ways that they've been paying him. Taking down Hermes Construction will probably be annoying to Mercury, but not especially impactful to his overall operations. Large-scale laundering operations usually don't involve just one company, and he's probably spread out into all sorts of ventures to hide how much money is being buried.
Okay, I'll close up shop and go deliver the bad news to Lowry.
You go to Lowry's suite, where he's doing what?
Watching films of my commercials and public statements, trying to figure out if I did them well and if I need to do them better somehow.
Hey, Lowry, are you busy?
Oh, not really. How's your work going?
Well, it's a dead end. There's financial crime here, but I don't know if it easily leads anywhere.
Well, doesn't the company belong to someone? Or you've got any payments pointing somewhere else?
The owner is fake. You can't provide proof they exist. They've got some money coming in from offshore accounts, and there was also some investing from a holding company that belongs to a church. But it's really hard to tell if that's just a private equity thing or what. And churches can be as hard to scrutinize as an offshore account. The big problem with dirty money is that there's so many legally clean ways to hide it. Basically, once you get to a certain level of funds, it'd take more than just you to crack anything.
Well, the weirdest thing that I noticed was that the company has some investment from a church, distantly, or I guess an investment firm owned by a church.
Start messing with churches, every politician to the right of Stalin will rip us to pieces. That is a dead lead. Do not touch it.
Okay, the information we grabbed isn't very useful in a vacuum. The thing I guess that we really could have done was waited to see if they took any money that we could tie a criminal interest to and build a network of, you know, everything tied to Hermes Construction is going to go dead now, whether it was legit or not.
Okay. And if the shareholders feel like we're not making progress, like we're spinning our wheels, they'll lose confidence. So the big question is, how do we make this look like a victory?
It seems pretty neutral, like not like a loss. We could probably see if the FBI has more leads and go after those.
I would. But the problem is, if every time Jack gives us a new lead and we go and kill it without a real benefit, eventually he's going to start lying to us. I can twist his arms once or twice. I know the right people. But if we establish a pattern of looking incompetent, then going after him politically will get ugly on both sides. Like genuine mud wrestling and opening both of our organizations to a lot of negative scrutiny. With us probably having more to lose because we're the ones making the problems right now, at least as far as I know. If Jack is also killing his own investigation, then he wouldn't tell me that either.
Then we have to find a new lead on our own.
How long will that take, though? We need to come up with a victory now.
Well, maybe we could just come forward and admit that we made a mistake, but we're still good at our jobs.
No, Elvis, you do not ever admit you made a mistake. In today's world, optics is everything to business. There are companies that make millions of dollars just on the appearance that they might have a product someday. None of them collapse until someone admits that there is no product. And the reverse is true, too. Even if we have a good product, it won't matter if investors think that we don't. Nothing needs to be real, but we always need investors to think that it is. If you're not on top, if you're not winning the game, then you can be bought by someone who is.
Well, who else would buy us? Who are we worried about? Snickman was saying that we're already so big that we're an illegal monopoly, maybe.
Elvis, do not ever say stuff like that out loud. Look, it's like a cartoon. We can run across thin air if we don't look down. A lot of things are true, but it'll never matter if we never talk about it or bring it to anyone's attention. Plenty of companies could buy us if our shares drop low enough. I don't know who would, for sure. I've got some ideas, but if that happened and it looked like my fault, then I lose the respect of the business world to guide that purchase at any level. Everything falls apart if we start saying something is wrong. If we ever say that we know we're a monopoly, then the DOJ might feel compelled to do something about it since it's on record. Nothing is wrong. This bust was a huge success, and somewhere in this there is a story that makes that true. If you can find that story in the data we see somewhere, then please help me. Otherwise, we need to find that story somewhere else.
What kind of data would make this a success?
If we could say a large amount of money was frozen, or an impressive sounding number of people got cut off from funds, genuinely anything that could just sound big. The problem is we're trying to compete with something as big as the HQ going down. We have to find something that looks like we're rolling with the punch and getting right back into the fight. If we turn around and tell the investors that we're taking down litterers and shoplifters like that's our big victory, then it looks like we've fallen down.
Well, we haven't fallen down.
It looks like we've fallen down, Elvis. Important people are trying to short sell the company. They want news that we're in trouble. If it begins to feel like the truth, it will be the truth. A lot of it'll happen automatically through computers. We can't let it start, or it's already over.
Okay, well, I'll try to find anything that might sound useful, I guess.
Thank you. I will try to figure out a way to make this work with what we know right now. And for the record, we are still going to tackle these crimes for what they are. Don't worry. It's just that we need to get the business stuff out of the way first.
Right. I get it.
The night drags on as you search for evidence that you've done something right. But meanwhile, those up to wrong are making progress. Paul, it's roughly time for your meet. Assuming your guy listened to his voicemail.
All right, Thor, all I need for you is to hang out for a while. You can buy a drink if you want, so long as you don't go overboard. Sip it slowly so you don't lose focus. We don't have to be here for long, so if you drink slow enough, by the time you get inebriated, we can probably rule out our guy showing up at all. But if you see him, go outside and light a cigarette.
Thor says, but I don't smoke.
That's okay, you don't have to smoke it. Just light it and hold the thing. It'll be easy to see the light in the smoke. It's a signal that'll last for a little bit, so even if I wind up getting a little dozy and don't spot it in a second, I will see it eventually.
All right, and then what should I do after that?
After that, you go home.
I can't go hit another bar?
You're joking, but we're here at work. Think of this as being on the clock. Once you get home, you're no longer at work, you can do what you want.
All right, I get that. But, hey, do you think you'd ever actually want to go bar hopping sometime?
Kid, I'm a fighting drunk. I'm okay with a beer or two, but you don't want to see me going on an actual bar crawl, because it's going to end in a brawl.
I might like to see that. You know, just once.
It'd violate the conditions of my pardon. There's rules. It's not a risk we need right now.
Okay, all right. I've got the plan. I'll come out and light a cigarette if I see Phil.
I'll be out here.
Thor goes in. And Paul, you must be in your disguise right now.
Yep, leaning into the idea that Masterson is now a wreck. Made myself look like a burn victim, got it all over my face. I don't even have to shave the beard. I just make it look like I've let myself go.
Got it. And everybody in the bar is probably going to notice you. So you stay hidden for the time being until Thor comes out and lights a cigarette. He's holding it straight up and down like a torch. He's probably never smoked a cigarette before. Looks like it.
Okay, head in, nod to Thor so he sees me go. Make sure my body language is nervous, but also a bit subdued. When Phil sees me, he needs to sense that something is wrong with his friend.
You see him sitting at a booth in the bar. He was looking nervous already, and when he spots you, he relaxes into a different kind of concerned anxiety.
Go to the booth and sit down. Look over my shoulder, but then try to pretend I'm not, because I don't want to be conspicuous. Which, of course, makes it more conspicuous.
Yeah, you're drawing concerning looks from the bartender at this point. When you sit down, Phil says, Daryl?
Thank you for meeting me, Phil.
You look awful. I heard you were dead.
Yeah, well, I almost was. I was in a flying machine that went down.
Yeah?
My work with Mercury didn't go exactly to plan.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I mean, it didn't go poorly. He paid well and let me work on my projects, but they found us.
A waitress comes over to the table and asks, are you drinking anything, sir?
Yes. How about a screwdriver?
Coming right up. She leaves, and Phil says, I thought you didn't like to drink.
I didn't. I still don't. But not everything healed well, so I don't mind anything that dulls the pain down a little bit.
Yeah, those burns look really bad.
Well, the burn is mostly fine. That was grafted, but the falling a great distance can lead to quite a few injuries. If I'm being honest, I'm on quite a few pain pills right now.
Is it okay for you to be drinking, then?
I'll be fine. I appreciate the concern.
Well, I'm glad you're alive. But why'd you call me?
I'm not sure how I can help. Do you need a place to stay?
No. I'm staying with Mercury, being provided for, and he's still providing support for my interests, as well as I can tend to them right now.
Are you still working on the Luna stuff?
That, among other projects. I'm sure you can guess at a few of them.
I saw the robot, or the wreckage of it, at least, on the news.
The military destroyed it.
I wasn't sure you could get something like that working. I mean, I know you believed in your ability to do it, but I wasn't sure until you proved it.
Yes, well, it's gone now. So much for success.
The waitress brings out the screwdriver, and as you take a sip of it, Phil asks, "Are you sure you're okay to drink? You just seem... I don't know, really..."
It's the pain. It makes it hard to concentrate. I've been losing track of days. But Phil, I'm not here to talk about me. I have something else that I really need to talk to you about.